Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. We are gathered together today to fellowship around the Word of God. Thank you for all your children that are here with us to fellowship together. It is well with everyone. Even as it is written, say ye to the righteous that it is well with him. So I say to everyone that's here, that's walking in the righteousness of God, it is well with you in Jesus' name. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be even on here today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let's talk about peace beyond understanding. And by all means necessary, God wants us to have peace. So we just encourage one another because, you know, I know that many of us are going through. Well, we seem to be going through. You know, you wonder, you know, you get a victory over one thing and then there's something else. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. That's what they say here in the U.S., you knock his head down here, springs up on the other side. You knock it down. Well, you got to keep knocking it down. Knock it down again. Well, it springs up again. Well, you keep getting the victory over him. But let's see what God has to say about our peace. Hallelujah. You know, first of all, you know, peace beyond understanding comes from Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious, he said, for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, be careful for nothing is an exhortation, admonition, I call it, you know, for us to not get all, you know, wired up and so forth, anxious about everything. Well, you can pray, put it in God's hands. Be anxious, careful for nothing, but in everything, everything, prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. And anytime the scripture gives us such admonition, it's because God knows that we are dealing with anxiety. Many times. So he has to come in and, you know, try to encourage us. Kind of like when he says, fear not, it's because he knows we're dealing with fear. You know, so let your requests be made known unto God, you know, in confidence rather than in anxiety. And if you do that, he said, well, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I mean, you would have thought he would have said, let your requests be made known to God, and the Lord will answer every one of your prayers. And that would have been a good conclusion of that text. He didn't say it that way, though. But he did say something that's extremely useful. In other words, you know, the problem may not be immediately resolved or the crisis immediately removed. Nevertheless, through that situation, the Lord will still give you peace. So that's it. You know, the peace of God passes understanding. It's like you wonder, people also wonder, how in the world can you be at peace, you know, when such and such going on? Well, it's because God is the one that giving you that peace. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 14 and 27, he said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, but I give this peace to you. You know, so Jesus, the one that gives us peace, well, devil can't take it from us. Let's see how the Bible characterizes this ministry of Jesus as the giver of peace. In the book of, you know, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, you know, we read, and this is a famous text and popular too, that we read from time to time about what the Lord did for us. And one of the things which we don't often talk about when we read this verse is the peace that he did and got for us. So let's look at it. Starting from verse 5, he says, well, even verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs, right? And he has carried our sorrows. That's right. The Lord did that. And he said, you know, even though we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, it wasn't because of his own issues. It was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And listen to what comes next. You know, it says, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So all those beatings that Jesus took, you know, were for our peace. We often talked about his stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. We talk about that all the time. Whose stripes you are healed, and so forth. Even Peter quoted this part of this verse in 1 Peter 2:24. He quoted part of it to say, well, by whose stripes you were already healed. You know, but I want to talk about this part that we don't often talk about. Before the stripes came, there was the chastisement. You know, the beating left the scars. The scars are the stripes. And if he wasn't beaten, there would have been no stripes. And so this scripture emphasizes the fact that he was beaten first. You know, all those things they laid upon in the beating was for our peace. So if we believe that Jesus paid for our healing, well, we should also believe that Jesus paid for our peace. Because the very thing that we believe that he did to pay for our healing, which was his stripes, well, he came from the beating which he took, which was for our peace. So the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, you know, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation, John 16 and 33. This tribulation is what takes away or tries to take away our peace. You know, and when we have situations and so forth, well, what happens? Sometimes we are troubled. And many times we are troubled on every side. But here's what Jesus said. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you see, you can't have it in the world. You can't have it anywhere else. In me, well, that you may have peace. Peace in Christ. In the world, the world system is designed to bring us troubles and problems. You know, but be of good cheer, he said. And I will calm the world for you that you may have my peace. So my peace I leave with you. Praise the Lord. Now Isaiah introducing Christ in Isaiah 9 and 6. He talked about the future coming prince, right? The Messiah is the coming one, a king. And the prince is the anointed one that is going to take over all. And here is the way Isaiah put it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He said, unto us, well, a child is born and a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This same Jesus is all of that. And furthermore, the Prince of Peace. Can't get that peace outside of him. It's called the Peace of the Prince of Peace. Of the increase. Now notice. Of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. His government will increase. The peace that he brings will increase. And we're going to talk about this peace more in this lesson. Because we're told that it will increase. His peace will increase. Now let's look at peace in a couple of different ways. Peace can be viewed as the absence of trouble or tumult. I mean, quietness and serenity and so forth can be peace. And God actually promises us that. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, the Lord promises us peace that comes as a result of quietness. I mean, you know, when he has removed troubles on every side, you know, then you are quiet and you have peace. So there is a kind of peace that comes as a result of, well, there's no trouble. God gives us quietness and so forth. Here's how Isaiah put it. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So there is a kind of peace that comes from quietness. Quietness all around. There was a time God gave Solomon quietness. I mean, he didn't have wars like his father David. There was a time God gave King Asa rest for many years, like 15 years or whatever. They just had rest. You know, there was nobody troubling them, nobody waging war against them, and so on and so forth. Now, that's peace. That's some kind of peace. And I pray and wish that we always have that kind of peace where there is no trouble. Everything is just good. You know, in fact, you go out every day and it's peace. And that's a wonderful, you know, place to be. I mean, you go out with joy, he says in Isaiah 55 verse 12, and you'll be led forth with peace. Your day, peace attends your day. You don't have any trouble. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. And that's what we pray and wish we all had. But that's not the reality of life. Reality of life is, well, sometimes you will have that kind of experience. You have quiet times, peaceful times, restful times. And it seems like all is good on top of the mountain. Other times, you know, you feel like you are in the valley. You feel like you are in the dark. The good times, you feel like you are in the light. Everything is cool. Well, other times you feel like you are in the dark. You know, because God had left these cycles of day and night, actually night and day, left these cycles from the beginning, even from when he commanded the light to shine out of darkness and called the light day. He liked that. He didn't like the darkness, but he called it night. Still gave it a name and still left it there. And so today, we still have those light and darkness, night and day, ups and downs, times of peace and quietness, but times of trouble. And I want to talk about times of trouble even more so today. That even in the midst of the trouble, that's the one that we want to talk about. It would be great if we never had trouble. And I pray that for the most part, our life will be peaceful. I mean, from external, you can have peace inside, even when the external is troubled. And that's what we want to talk about today. But I'm talking that even God can take away the external and just cause you to have peace all around. You know, even when the scripture says, you know, when your ways please the Lord, he will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. I mean, God can do that. However, you know, many times we find out we are in, you know, I mean, troublous times. And the things are not always peaceful. You may not be peaceful on your job, you know. And you may have that a good job that you thought, well, it's a blessing of the Lord. He added no sorrow to you. The next thing you know, the devil put forth his hand, stir up some trouble for you. You know, might be in your business, might be in the family, might be in whatever. These things are the reality of life. God allows them to be side by side. You know, that's what Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 tells us. There will be the times of peace, God calls it the day of prosperity. When everything is cool and going according to our desires, well, he calls it the day of prosperity. What do? Well, you rejoice. You praise the Lord. You know, you enjoy the goodness of the Lord. However, I say you should consider that alongside with those good times, there's also going to be troublous times. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity or trouble, consider, you know, and when you consider, well, first of all, consider the goodness of the Lord in the times of peace. Consider the goodness of the Lord in the times when you had, you know, prosperity and there was no adversity, you know. So there are times that God will do that. And then, you know, there are times also when you will have to deal with adversity and foe and so on and so forth. And in those times, we will hope and pray that this kind of lesson will help us. Praise the Lord. Now, one such time when we have rest from every side, just like Solomon, you know, his father was a man of war that hardly had any rest, was always in one kind of conflict or the other. But in Solomon's time, here is his testimony in the book of 1 Kings chapter 5. Let's read how he testified, you know, about, you know, the rest, the quietness that God had given him. You know, so Solomon made this statement. He said, now in verse 4, the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. So that's real peace. When you have no trouble, God has cut off on every side everything that troubles you. That's real peace. You know, peace in the natural. But even greater peace is when even in the midst of all of that, that's why it's called beyond understanding. How can you have peace in the middle of all of that? Well, Solomon was enjoying peace here. God cut off adversary, cut off any evil occurrence. And this is a good scripture. And we can believe, he said, the Lord, you are the God that cut off adversary for Solomon. You are the God that cut off all evil occurrence for him. Well, you can do the same for me. You can believe that. That's a good prayer. You know? And many times God will actually do that. There will be times that we'll have peace and quietness and there's no trouble. Everything's going well. But there are also times when there's going to be trouble and you're in the eye of the storm. You know, that's the one that, what are you going to do? See, when that situation is like that, what are you going to do? You know, the Lord gives us stories in the Bible that we see. Many people went through situations like this. Christ even demonstrated one. One of our favorite stories on this platform, which we shared many times, Mark chapter 4. We read from verses 35 to 41 or so, the story of Christ saying, let us pass over to the other side. And he got in the boat and all the storms came at them and so on. It's a demonstration also of this thing that we're talking about today. In this case, you know, one person was able to experience peace and quietness in the midst of the storms and the trouble. The others did not. The others were panicking, running around, crazy, screaming, shouting, yelling. One person, Christ, was in the back of the boat somewhere, just sleeping as though there was nothing going on. You know, that's the kind of experience that I'm praying that we will be able to have from time to time. You know, that when the troubles of life, the storms of life, you know, and everybody's going to experience these things. You know, whether your house is built on the rock or your house is built on the sand, both houses will experience the rains. Jesus said the rains came, beat upon both of these houses, just the same. Beat upon the one that was built on the sand, beat upon the one that was built on the rock, same thing. We'll experience it. However, you know, the outcome could be different. One outcome is thou art, you know, the Lord keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on the Lord. Because Jesus said, everyone that heareth these my words and doeth them, well, the Lord will instruct his mind to be stayed on the words of God, and you will experience peace, well, no matter what's going on. Yeah, that's the kind of peace that Jesus was experiencing. He knew the storm was coming, but it didn't bother him at all. He just went and, you know, was sleeping. In fact, a deep sleep. We're told that he found something to make as a pillow and laid himself down. It wasn't just a nap where he fell asleep while sitting up. He laid down to sleep. That's why the Bible takes time to explain those little insignificant details. But it showed you that he was restful in his mind. He laid down to sleep. He wasn't sleeping with one eye open or sleeping standing up or sitting down. He laid down to sleep, found a pillow and was just sleeping. Yet the disciples, they were panicking, running crazy, ran to Jesus. You know the story. Master, 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 wake up. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus got up and said, hey, what's happening? He said, well, you can't hold the storm. How can you be sleeping like this? And so Jesus said, I thought better of you guys. I thought I've been training you this thing. You can have peace even when there's storm all around you. You can have peace. You know, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith that God will see you through this storm? Why? You know, why? And Jesus was, he's like, wow, thinking that these guys would understand this thing by now. But they didn't. But that's the lesson that Jesus is wanting to teach us. We need to have faith in God through the storm. That's right. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? Well, you need to have faith that God can bring you through the storm. See? So that's the thing. When your mind is stayed on the Lord, he instructs you to have faith that God will bring you through the storm. That's right. And unfortunately, sometimes some people have more storms than others. But whatever the case may be, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the scripture tells us that, look, if God allows you to have more storms, but it means that he knows that you can handle it because he will not allow anything beyond your strength. So he knew they could handle the storm, but they didn't. And he was disappointed. So he rebuked the disciples and then he rebuked the storm. But Jesus had no intention on his own of rebuking the storm. He was going to let the storm do its thing. You know, he was going to sleep through the storm, you know, because he was showing us that we can have faith in God that he will bring us through the storm. And so I said, why are you so fearful? How come you have no faith? So ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, when there is a crisis that occurs or deepens, then let's call on our faith and remember that Jesus was teaching this lesson that we can have peace even in the face of the storm, in the midst of the storm, in the eye of the storm. Still experience peace, just like him. Don't sleep. Well, of course, one reason why there was such a stark difference between Jesus and the disciples was, you know, early that morning, Jesus was found in the mountains and hills, waking up a great while before day, praying. I prayed through the day. I mean, prayed ahead over all these things and so forth. Disciples, of course, are busy doing something else. You know, they didn't live a life of prayer like Jesus did. You know, now, if we get up early in the morning and pray ahead for the day, you may not escape everything just because of that prayer. However, you know, God will give you the confidence that you've already prayed about it. Praise God. You know, you've already prayed about it. Jesus knew that. He knew that the storm, see, cannot come and destroy him. He knew that he's going to the other side, which is what he said. Let us pass over to the other side. So when you are on a mission and God told you where you're going, trust me, the devil will come up against you in many different ways. Make sure you don't get there. What is going to be your response? What's going to be your answer of faith? Well, this is what we're talking about today. Peace through the storm. No matter what is going on, you have peace. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, three young men faced, you know, an incredible crisis. In a moment, they're going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. One last chance, Nebuchadnezzar said. If you had played the music now and you dance to it and bow to my image, all's cool. But if you don't, I'm going to cast you in that fire. So at the penalty of death, you have one last chance. And they were facing certain death and brutal death, for that matter, to be burnt alive. It's not like you just sleep and die in your sleep. You know, this is, you're going to be burnt alive. Brutal. They were facing this thing. But yet, they had a calmness about them. They had some kind of confidence about them. They said, well, you know, if you're going to cast us in the fire, well, so be it. You know, our God whom we serve, number one, is able to deliver us from the fire. And he actually will deliver us. We know he's able. And we know he is going to do it. But this is our posture and our answer. Even if he does not, even if there is a chance that we're not coming out of this thing alive, well, we still will not bow. Now that is fiery furnace faith. And that is, you know, they can go into that fire, but in their mind, they know God is going to bring them out on the other side. But they're sold out. Well, even if we don't come out, we're still not going to bow. You know, we're still going to maintain our posture. And that's peace. You know, I don't know, you know, what we are facing today. You know, face that situation squarely, knowing that God is not only able to deliver you. See, that is, I often say, that's non-negotiable. You've got to know that God is able to do it. That's non-negotiable. Excuse me. And also, Not only that he's able to do it, but that he will actually do it. You know, got to be persuaded and then embrace it for this situation. And he's going to do it. But in your heart, your posture is, look, I know he's going to do it, but maybe he's not going to do it in 1 day, 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, or whatever. But I know he's going to do it. But while I'm going through, I'm going to maintain my integrity. You know, that's what Job said. He said, I'm going to maintain my integrity while everything is falling apart. You know, my children are being killed. Everything, losing everything. Even his wife come up against him. His friends, everybody come up against him. But he said, I'm going to maintain the integrity of my heart. I'm going to have my posture of faith and assurance through the storm. Well, that's real peace, in my opinion. That's even greater peace. It's good peace, real peace, when you have no trouble and got cut off adversary and evil occurrence on every side. But there's greater peace even in the midst of all of that. And yet, you maintain your posture. So it becomes, you know, and that's when we say, we call it, you know, beyond understanding. Even in your own mind, you know, it's beyond understanding. People are looking at you. It's beyond understanding. I mean, you may be going through some things. Maybe you have to go, you know, into surgery, some difficult thing. Maybe you have to go through this. Maybe you have to go through that, you know. But in the midst of it, you have this assurance. Praise the Lord. You know, I have experienced a difficult situation like that some years ago. This was in 2001. I, you know, diagnosed with valley fever, a difficult thing. Brought some kind of thing into my lungs. We didn't know it at the time. Initially, I thought it was cough or it was pneumonia, or it was this and that. And by the time I figured it out, the lung was completely congested, congealed even. You know, a lot of things, you know, couldn't be done, couldn't be sucked out, you know, couldn't even be, I mean, they had to go in there surgically. I was almost unable to use, I mean, that one lung was completely non-functional. The point that I was bent over, you know, bent over, was this heaviness, my chest, I was going in, but see, even when I was going into the surgery, I cried unto the Lord for that. And I got my peace, you know. After I got my peace, I was going into that thing, which somebody was telling me later, medical doctor, a friend was telling me later that, I'm even telling my wife that, this thing your husband just went through, you know, I lost his life. But even while going through all of that, you know, my goal and my something that was uppermost in my heart was to assure the people that were around me waiting that everything was okay. That the peace, I'm coming out of it. You know, and the first thing, and I'm coming out of that recovery room, my first thought was, if I see anybody, my wife or anybody, I'm going to give them a thumbs up. Praise God, you know, give them a thumbs up. And that's exactly what I did. Come out of there. I had to get my hand out of under whatever it was. Give a thumbs up, you know, because God was able to keep me through all of that. You know, have peace that you go through, you're coming out of it. And you have the assurance, never mind what's going on. Even when you can't deal with it. See, I'm somebody that likes to be in control. You know, I like to be in control. That's why I don't like surgery where they put you to sleep. Because I'm like, oh, I'm not in control. I like to be in control. As long as I know what's going on, I'm okay. I can take care of it. I can put things down. Say, hey, be quiet. You, do this, do this. I can use my faith when I'm conscious and so forth. I didn't know that you can actually use your faith even when you are not conscious. So I always thought that, look, as long as I'm conscious, Don't put me to sleep, you know, because I can participate in the process and I can handle things in the spirit realm. You do yours, let me do mine. But I got to be alert to do that. No, I got to put you to sleep, you know. But later I found out that, you know, you can actually have things working. Peace can be working for you because you've built up that spiritual capacity. Even when you're unconscious, you can be sleeping. Angels can come and wake you up and say, hey, get up. It's time to eat. That was a man called Elijah. I mean, whether he was awake, whether he was sleeping, I mean, things were still working for him. And so the same for us, no matter what we're going through, your peace that's inside of you can still be working for you. Even when you are unconscious, even when you're going through situations that are so hard, and people say, I don't know how they can, you know, have peace in all of that. Well, it's called peace beyond understanding. And that's what God gives to us. And let me give you, you know, other statements here in the scriptures that help us to exercise ourselves in this kind of peace. You know, knowing that God will give you the victory, knowing he will be you through the storm. You've got to know that. That helps you, you know, to have that peace. Now, if you don't know the outcome or you are anxious about what the outcome might be, then there is a likelihood that you'll be more troubled. But if you know the outcome, yeah, remember, Jesus said, let us go pass over to the other side. Well, that's the outcome. We are going to get to the other side in one piece. And storm may come against us up and down, but we're getting to the other side. But that's what Jesus said. Once you know that, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, David already knew he's coming out on the other side. That's why he said it that way. You know, while I'm passing through, I know I'm coming out on the other side. So he used the word through instead of saying, if I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, well, that's a dead end. But when I pass through the valley of the shadow, he already knew it's coming out. Isaiah 43:2 says the same thing. Say, when you pass through. So that word through already means you know the end result. Now, well, the current situation may be painful, but the end result is you're coming out of it. But that's what he said. When you pass through, of course, it's not if, you know, we know that it's going to happen. You're going to face situations that you must have to pass through. But his word to you is that you are going to pass through. Yeah? So we encourage ourselves, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. So that's the end is already declared. God said, I declare the end even from the beginning. He's already declared that you are coming out on the other side even before you get into that situation. He's already declared it. So that's what leads us to having peace. But we already know the end. You know? And he said, look, even when you walk through the fire, in every one of these cases, it was through. It wasn't into. If you walk into the fire, you may not come out. But you are walking through the fire. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And as I've often said, and you've heard me say, when you ask people, you know, hey, what's going on? How's everything going? I say, well, I'm going through some things right now. Nobody says, you know, I don't know how you would even say, I'm going into some things. People always say, well, I'm going through some things. Well, that's why we say people are going through. And I tell people that by your own admission, because you said, I'm going through some things, by your own admission, you've already declared that you are coming out on the other side. Because you said, I'm going through some things. Well, so we'll wait for you on the other side. Hallelujah. And the Lord will be with you through the process. So we say, you know, there is language among believers that say, when you are going through, you know, people who are going through, it's because of this thing. You know, when you're going through, well, you know, remember, I will be with you. Praise God. there's trouble will not overpower you. The river, it will not drown in it. It will not overflow you. Even the fire, he said, it will not kindle upon you, it will not burn you. I will bring you through it. That's what gives us peace. Because we know the end even before it started. And even while you are going through, you remind yourself, you know, that God already declared the end. Praise God. Isaiah 46 and verse 10, he said, you know, remember the former things of old from verse 9. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. You know, God always likes to remind the people. See, I'm the God that can declare, you know, I always declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. So what God has foreseen and declared about you will stand. And that's why, you know, I often say that, well, as far as God is concerned, he didn't even start until he has finished. You know, he finishes the thing first before he even starts it. So in my mind, I have come to understand that. That's the thing with God. Ecclesiastes 3 explains it this way. You know, he said, as far as God is concerned, he has already, the thing that is yet to be has already been. Praise the Lord. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 and 15 says, that which has been, you know, is now. See, the past is present with God. And that which is yet to be, the future, is past with him. That which is yet to be has already been. Praise God. You know, so, and as far as God is concerned, he's talking about God here. God required the past. You know, everything that he's talking about here is about God. You know, what is yet to be has already been as far as he's concerned. Before he started it, he finished it first. And so, if I know that, well, then I can confidently know that, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm coming through this storm and this crisis and whatever, you know, I'm going to make it, you know. So I remember when I was a young man in high school, we used to go away to the boarding house or boarding school, away from family. We were there camped throughout the year. Wasn't a day school where you went home every day. You stayed there whole time. That's how it was back in my country then. The times when I got into trouble and I had to take punishment, you know, take punishment. Like they make you cut grass or do all this crazy stuff, you know, back in the day. There was something that used to keep me going. I wasn't necessarily a believer then, but, you know, something kept me going. You know, I was always thinking in my heart that, look, this day cannot last forever. That somehow this day will pass. You know, and if you get into trouble, I then put you in what they call detention. When other people are free, you got to go cut grass or do some other crazy stuff. You know, and then I'll be thinking, well, you know, by tomorrow, you see, it'll be over anyway. It doesn't matter how long you have to deal with this thing. You know, and I didn't even understand that. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't understand it. That it was actually even the scriptures. But my mind was like that. When I was going through anything, I'd say, well, you know, whatever it is, whatever, tomorrow, this will be done. I may go through it now, but it will be done. You know, and I didn't know it. But someday, years later, I found it in the scriptures. It's in Psalm 30 and verse 5. Yeah, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I say, oh my goodness. You know, I have found it. And, you know, I've always maintained that posture that, look, no night can last forever. You know, whatever it is you're going through, you know, it can't last forever. And God ordained it that way. The night and then the morning were the first day. And then after that, the night again and the morning. And God put it, that ordinance in place till today. he made sure he put it in place by not eliminating the darkness. Let there be light, he said, but he did not say, let the darkness be no more. He never said that. You know, if he had said that, we would never had any more darkness. But he didn't say it. He left it in place, even gave it a name, which means he had a purpose for it. So when we're going through the darkness, when we're going through the situation, whatever the situation is that you're going through right now, it will pass. Praise the Lord. And God will bring you through it. This is what gives you peace. That's how you can have peace. You know, see, because you know the end. You know, now, at the moment, it's painful, whatever you're going through. However, yeah, just, you know, try to elevate your faith like this and say, well, I already know that I'll be at the other side. Because, yeah, you know, Lord said, when you pass through, so I know I will pass through. Well, while you're passing through, it's not funny sometimes, you know, but I know I will pass through. This is what gives you peace, because you already know the end. This is an advantage. When you have the advantage of the word of God, see, everybody goes through life. You know, the righteous and the unrighteous, the house that's built on the rock or the one that's built on the sand, they go through the same thing. But, so one of them might have an advantage. An advantage is that he knows the word of God. You know, he's built on the rock as the advantage. The same thing will happen to them, but he has an advantage. So you use the word of God as an advantage. God said, you are coming through. I'm going to bring you through it. So that gives you confidence and give you some kind of peace that even your mind can't understand. Even people can't understand. But that's how you do it. You know, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Now, because you know that you are going to always triumph, you're going to triumph through this situation, that can give you peace, even while you're going through it. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, even something similar. He said, while we are going through, while we are buffeted on every side, while the devil tried to pummel me and do all of these things, you know, I'm not going to keep my head down because I know that I can get through it and I will get through it. So knowing the scriptures helps us. When trouble comes to you from every side, so what Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed, you know. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We don't give up. We don't lose hope. We may be persecuted, we may be pummeled, we may be forsaken, we may be cast down and so forth, but we can never be destroyed. You know, I know God already said, I'm passing through and I will get out of it somehow. I mean, I don't understand how or know how, but that's going to give me rest. It's going to give me confidence that God somehow, he'll see me through it. That's how you know, that's how you exercise yourself in peace. And it's something that we have to be conscious about. Because, you know, when God takes away your trouble, you don't have to do anything. You're just flowing through peace. But when you are faced with troubles, you have to consciously exercise yourself in this thing that we're talking about today. Praise God. You know, let's listen to how the psalmist said it. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 5. All the things that can be blowing up around him, and everything that may be going on, he had this posture, you know. And that posture gave him peace. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Doesn't mean that there will be no trouble, but when the trouble comes, God's right there, you know. Therefore, will we not fear? You know, this is the thing that gives him confidence, you know. Because the Lord is there with you. Though the earth be removed, cataclysmic upheavals and everything going on, and the mountains carry in the midst of the sea, the waters thereof roar, the mountains shake and swelling and all that stuff that may be going on, yet I'm exercising myself in peace. Isaiah 26 and 3, thou will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on. Throughout all of that, my mind is stayed on me. Praise God. Psalm 112, Let's see how he put it. There are even times that you may get bad news. How do you deal with it? You know, now, I want you to know one thing. I'm going to say something today, which, just think about it. I'm going to say it anyway. You know, the bad news that you're going to get, I pray that nobody gets any bad news. Praise the Lord. You know, so that. But the bad news or the bad problem or whatever situation you're going to get 2 weeks from today, God already knows it today. You know, that's right. He already knows it 100 years ago. He already knows it. I mean, he already knew it way ahead. And he doesn't lose knowledge of anything. He has complete knowledge, foreknowledge, perfect memory of all things. He already knows how that thing is going to play out. You know, so think about it this way. Because of that, you know, you can exercise yourself in peace that passes understanding. Here's how the psalmist said it. He said, unto the upright, Psalm 112, verse 4, there ariseth light in darkness. Same thing. You know that even in this dark moment that you are going, light is coming. You know, it's coming. We already know it, even while it looks dark. You know the day is going to break. The night cannot last forever. You already know that. You know, and so that encourages you that, look, soon the day is going to break. Praise God. You know, and he says, you know, that the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrances. You will not be moved. You will guide his affairs with discretion, all these things. He said, and then in verse 8, he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Like, this is what I'm talking about. You're not even going to be afraid that evil tidings is coming. No, you're not going to be afraid. Why? Because your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, anything, you know, whatever, God already knows about it. And he's already made a way of escape. That's right. You know, you got to have that confidence. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. I pray that your heart will be established and that you'll not be afraid of evil tidings. You know, it was nothing at all. You know, sometimes the devil will bring false evil tidings to get you all riled up and everything, you know, to get you all agitated and so on. But it is nothing. You know, it's nothing to start with. Just some ruse that the devil stirred up. Now, in Psalm 62, the psalmist also said the same thing. He said, look, I will not be greatly moved. I don't care what's going on. You know, I'm not going to be moved. He said, truly my soul waited upon God. You know, even while I am going through. From him cometh my salvation and my deliverance through that period. Now, this salvation here is not just, oh, I'm giving my life to Christ so that my soul can be saved. He's talking about the problem that I'm in. How God is going to save me from this problem. How God is going to deliver me from this problem. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This is how you build your confidence in peace. You know, an assurance and quietness, even when there is no peace, even when there is trouble, you assure yourself in advance, ahead, that look, my God will be my salvation. He's going to get me out of this. Praise God, you know, and you know it. And that's the confidence that you have, you know. And finally, the Lord said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, the God of peace himself. Now, this is the closing prayer that Paul was praying for those Thessalonians at that time. He's ending the second letter and he's almost at the end of it now. And he's going to say to them, now the Lord of peace himself. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. What does that mean?
It's a prayer, but that was his prayer. It means whatever it takes. If God has to move the heavens, he has to move the earth, he has to plant you in his hands, you know, say to the heavens that are my people, whatever, he's going to do it for you. Say, by all means. Hallelujah. And he does it, you know, so that he himself might be glorified. Now, God is not glorified, you know, that, you know, when we are going and suffering and so on, you know, but he is glorified in the day of our deliverance. You know, they asked Jesus, this man was born blind 40 years now. John chapter 9. Why? Was it something his parents did even before he was born that made him to come out like this? Or was it something that he himself did? And Jesus said, no, it was not what his parents did. It wasn't what he himself did. You know, but that the works of God, you know, might be made manifest in him. And I say, wow. Yeah. And that is exactly the case. God is looking for that glory on the day of your salvation, on the day of your deliverance. So let me close by reading this to you. I mean, it's all for his glory. In the book of Isaiah chapter 61, a common text that we read at times, but I like to read this times to psych myself up, you know, for ministration of deliverance and different things. But listen to how he said it. You know, not only did he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. All these things he said, you know. But he also said in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful ashes. So he's going to take away the mourning. He's going to bring ashes. He's going to give them oil of joy, you know, for mourning. It's going to give the garment of praise. These are antidotes to these things. When you have the spirit of heaviness, switch it into praise gear. If you can figure out how to praise the Lord when your spirit is heavy, you can blow that thing right out. You know, and he said, well, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why does he do all these things? Listen to it. That means, you know, so that they might be called, so that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. That's the bottom line. The Lord will be glorified when you are delivered. The Lord will be glorified, you know, in your salvation and in your deliverance. And the Lord will be glorified when you handle it, so that Jesus will say, well, how long will I be with you of little faith? Handle it. Know that you will make it. You are getting to the other side. Jesus trusted them. He knew they could handle the storm more than they trusted him. And so you will get through the storm. You will get to the other side, I should say. Not because there will be no storm. Huh? If there's no storm, that's great. You know, but, and you know, you will get to the other side, not because the shipmaster has mastery of the waves of the sea and the ways through the sea and all that. Well, that's great too if he does. But despite lack of presence of any of those things, because he said so. See, that's the thing. What's going to get me to the other side is not the lack of storm. It's not the mastery of the shipmaster. That's good. They have all those things. But it's because his word said so. And we're going to the other side. So I build and I give my assurance, you know, I build my assurance around these things. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. And rather than thinking negative thoughts, think positive things. So that's why verse 8 of Philippians 4, where we started, comes in. He said, don't let your mind drift into, well, what if and what if and all of that. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious, he said, first of all. Commit everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving, remembering what he has already done. Thank him for that. And God will give you peace that will navigate this, go through this process, that you will even amaze you and others. But finally, my brethren, he said, instead of allowing your mind to go all over the place, well, channel your thoughts, you know, and control your thinking. And you channel your thoughts to the way that God wants you to do it. He said, well, whatever things are true, and don't let the devil deceive you with, you know, false evidence that appears real. Some people say that's fear. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Remember all these things that God has done for you. Remember the things of good report. Remember the virtue and the praise. You know, whatever things, good things that God has done. Think on these things. When you are going through, think on the good things that the Lord has already done. And use that to encourage yourself to exercise yourself in peace, even in the midst of the storm. I'm going to pray over the room. First, I'm going to pray that the Lord will cut off from all sides. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 4. I'm going to use that in prayer right now. That the Lord will cause all adversary, cut them off. Cut off any evil occurrence from you. You know, so that what is written in Isaiah 32 verses 17 and 18 might come to pass. That you would dwell in quiet resting places, and assurance, and forever, and so forth. God, cut off all these things that trouble you. In the name of Jesus. Paul said, I wish that they were cut off that trouble you. Well, I wish that all these things that trouble you might be cut off in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for that. But then I'm also going to pray knowing that, you know, that may not always be the case. I'm also going to pray that even while you are going through, if that's not the case, that God cut it off. Even if you have to go through, that God will bring you into a place where you can exercise your mind in peace that passes understanding, because you keep your mind stayed on him. So let us pray. Father, I pray for your children today. Sometimes, Lord, we just wish and hope that God will cut off on every side adversity and evil occurrence. And I pray, Lord, you did it for Solomon. You did it for Asa. You did it for some people. And Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There are times, Lord, that we just wish and pray and hope. There are some of our brethren that are just going through so many things. You know, one thing after the other. You know, I know of a family where, it's only four of them, the woman and her children. But three or four are sick or going through one thing or the other. Oh, it's one thing or the other. And how can they have peace in that situation, Lord? I pray, let God arise and let the enemies of God's people, who are also God's enemies, let them be scattered. The enemy that brings oppression, spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy that brings trouble, you know, he said, you know, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness, powers, you know, wickedness, darkness, rulers of the darkness of this world. All these things that try to pummel down your people. I pray, Lord, as you showed in the visions, that I see four horns that have come to trouble your children, pummel them down. But I also see four carpenters that come to fray them. I pray the carpenter's anointing over your life. All the things that are trying to pummel you down, let there be help that will arise for you and push back these forces that are trying to pummel you down. In the name of the Lord Jesus, lift up your head, O ye gates, sir, and let the King of glory come on in. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will bring relief and deliverance to those that are going through. Sometimes they're going through so many things. You say, well, I don't know if I can make it. You can make it and you will make it. I pray that the Lord will cut off adversary. Cut off, you know, evil occurrence in your life on every side and bring you quietness, peace and rest, assurance in Jesus' name. But for those that are going through, and while you are going through, I pray that the grace of God will be revealed unto you, even through such a lesson as this. That even while I'm going through, I can still experience and exercise myself in peace. The peace that Jesus gives, which he said, not as the world gives, but I give to you. I pray that your people, Lord, will experience and exercise themselves in that peace that passes understanding in the name of Jesus. That even though they may be going through right now, they will realize that the darkness cannot last forever. The night must cease. The day must break. There must be a dawning of a new morning. It must come to pass. Because that's what God put in place. The ordinances of night and day for now. Therefore, Lord, let the night hours and the night, the struggle through the night times and the darkness and the people that what the people are going through, let your people receive grace. Hallelujah. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Even when I don't take it away, well, I'll give you grace to go through it. Praise the Lord. I pray for grace, grace, grace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Who art thou, O great mountain? The Lord said, before Zerubbabel, before these, your people, let the mountain be brought down. Let God bring grace, grace to your people. Grace to understand peace and quietness. Grace to be able to experience it, you know, and exercise ourselves in that peace. And when we keep our minds on you, Lord, help your people. May they keep their minds on you that they may experience peace. For I will keep in perfect peace, saith the Lord, whose mind is stayed on me. Father, we give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.